This Sunday is the last Sunday of the church year, the church calendar, the cycle of seasons and holy days that we keep in our common worship. And this last Sunday of the year is, at least informally, known often as Christ the King Sunday. The readings that we heard this morning, as sort of scattered as they may seem, all at least refer to Jesus as a king or Jesus' kingdom. If you think about Jesus' ministry in the Gospels as it comes to us, he does not himself claim to be a king. That is not a role that he cherishes or identifies. And as it turns out, this sort of holy day or holiday of Christ the King Sunday is actually a fairly recent invention in the church. But Jesus did talk a lot about God's kingdom of God. Jesus used that language and that image a lot. And he invited people in the midst of their lives, in the midst of their daily lives, he invited Jesus into the kingdom. He told them what it was like, and he invited them to be a part of God's kingdom. Many of the parables, of course, refer to God's kingdom. I think it can be a challenging image for us because the only references that we have are secular kingdoms. And those are not always the best image for what God through Jesus offers to us. Today's collect is helpful for me in thinking about what the kingdom is like. And the collect for this day, for this last Sunday after Pentecost, we pray that drawn together into God's kingdom, drawn together by God's rule, we may find freedom and basically communion or community. That as participants, as citizens in God's care, God's realm, we are free. We are set free from whatever binds our souls. Call it sin, call it darkness, whatever it is that binds us or enslaves us. We are set free as we come into God's kingdom. And whatever separates us, one from another and from God, is washed away. And we are brought together. We are united with God and with one another. So God's kingdom is a place, it is a way of living in this life. This isn't just about after death or at the end of time. It is most importantly about this life. God's kingdom invites us into an experience of freedom and communion or community. And that experience is accessible to us now through God's grace, through God's presence with us. But we are also called and required to help build the kingdom, to help make real this experience in our hearts and in the world around us. We have something to do to make God's kingdom a part of our lives and a part of the world that we live in. As this is the last Sunday of the church year, perhaps it's helpful to think about this being a time for New Year's resolutions in our church life. A time for each of us to think about new ways, additional ways that we might act in our lives to help make God's kingdom real, to help make it known to us and to others. By these small acts, whatever they may be, we help give substance to God's kingdom. frameworks that's helpful to me, and I hope is helpful to you, to think about ways in which we might act to make God's kingdom real is the baptismal covenant from the Book of Common Prayer. It provides a wonderful list of ways in which we might act, with or without the context of baptism, ways in which we might act to bring a piece of God's kingdom into reality. I want to review the baptismal covenant with you. It's in the Book of Common Prayer. And as I do so, just think if there's one thing in this list of opportunities, just think if perhaps there's one thing that grabs at your heart or that sticks in your mind that might be something you would like to do, that you feel called or empowered or encouraged to do in the future to make God's kingdom real. The baptismal covenant begins with this question. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? Participate in worship. Pray. Read the scriptures. Think about maybe just reading one Bible verse a day or a week. Adding a personal prayer when you get up on Sunday morning. Just something simple. Something simple to add to that awareness and that participation in God's presence with us. Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? This question is really meant to be primarily inward-looking. When we talk about persevering in resisting evil, it's an inward-looking question. Will you resist your own participation in evil? However you would define that. Those places of darkness in your heart or in your soul or in your life. Whatever they may be, is there a way in which you can turn away? Or is there a way in which you can seek reconciliation? Return to the Lord, be reconciled. Whatever places of darkness or estrangement may exist between you and God or between you and others, can you bridge that through reconciliation, through repentance and asking the forgiveness of God, or through whatever it takes to mend those places that are dark within you? Just one thing, perhaps. I don't know of anything that works better to grant freedom to your heart and soul than overcoming, than choosing to reconcile those places of darkness and estrangement. Perhaps there is one of those places that you might be able to free from whatever enslaves you. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? This one makes a lot of people extremely uncomfortable because they think it means standing on the street corner and passing out tracts. Maybe it does for some of you. But it's much broader than that. Will you somehow by your life make known God's good and God's love? Will you somehow be a person to share that love in the world? One way to do that is by participating in the life of the church, helping this community to be a beacon and witness of love. And any way, any small way that you can contribute to the life of this community is a way to witness by your example to God's goodness and God's love and the role that we as a community have to play in making that love known. Think of one little thing that you could do, perhaps, that you haven't done before to enhance and encourage the life of this parish community. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? This is an outward-looking question. What thing can you do to make your neighbor's life better? It can be as easy as bringing a can of soup or a box of cereal to the food basket in the narthex there. Maybe there are other ways that your actual neighbor needs some help, or others in this community. All of those actions are ways that make the kingdom real, that create a space where God's love and God's grace flow into the world. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? That question challenges us to value people whom we may be prone to marginalize, whom we may tend to dismiss, and we all do it. We all have people whom we dismiss. Dismiss as less valuable. We all do it for different reasons. Maybe because they are poor or people of color, or because we find their politics incomprehensible or reprehensible, or because they are refugees, or because they own and claim a different sense of gender identity. We dismiss them. This question challenges us to see every human being as a child of God and to respect the inherent dignity within them. And to seek perhaps to build a relationship if there is someone near to us whom we dismiss. Build a relationship in a way that is meaningful. Looking through old sermons, I noticed that a couple of years ago on this Sunday, I talked about StoryCorps. And I won't go into the whole story of StoryCorps today, but it is a program that encourages storytelling. And it reminds me of a phrase that I have always come to, which is, the shortest distance between two people is a story. Listen to the stories of other people. Perhaps there is one person whom you would not be inclined to listen to for whatever reason. Listen to their story and share yours. Respect the dignity of every human being. Perhaps there is one person in your life where you can build that relationship. There's one more element to the baptismal covenant that is not a part of the covenant as it is written in our Book of Common Prayer currently. It has been proposed, and whenever decades from now the Episcopal Church gets around to prayer book revision, it will probably be included. It has already been included in Canada, and it adds this question. Will you strive to safeguard the integrity of God's creation and respect, sustain, and renew the life of the earth? This is a call that has always been important to me, but one which I am more and more seeking tangible ways to live out in my life. Aside from all of the political turmoil, looking at this creation around us as good because it is God's gift to us, as full of wonder and beauty that reflects the wonder and beauty of God, and being drawn to cherish and sustain that beauty, not only as a gift to us, but as a gift to generations to come. One thing. There are so many things that we can do. Perhaps there is one thing that you or I can do to help sustain God's creation in all of its glory, its wonder, and beauty. New Year's resolutions. Maybe there's just one. There's one that you would like to hang on to. Maybe you'll do it once. Maybe you'll do it daily. Maybe you'll do it from time to time. You may have seen the studies that show that the failure rate for secular New Year's resolutions is astronomical. There are a couple of differences here in this practice. One of them is that this is not a task that we do on our own. In the baptismal covenant, the response to each one of those questions is, I will with God's help. Turn to God, seek God's help in bringing God's kingdom into your life and into the world. We cannot do it without God's help, but by bits and pieces we can do it with God's help. And the other thing is, this is not sort of an issue of personal success or failure, like so many other New Year's, secular New Year's resolutions are. This is about us being instruments of God's work. As we say every Sunday in that prayer of St. Francis, make us instruments. This is God's work that we are doing. And every little piece that we do is good. Every little piece that gets done is good, is a blessing. We do not measure what doesn't get done. But every little bit that gets done, every one thing that we do to bring God's kingdom of love and grace into our hearts, into our lives, and into the world around us, each one of those things is a blessing. See what you can do to help make God's kingdom real and known in your own heart and soul and in the lives and in the presence of others around you.